And good evening. Welcome to the new GTLD Auction Proceeds Cross Community Working Group call on the 27th of April, 2017 at 1400 UTC. In the interest of time today, there will be no roll call as we have quite a few participants online. But for reference, we currently have 10 participants online. Attendance will be taken via the Adobe Connect room. So if you're only on the audio bridge, would you please let yourself be known now? Okay. Thank you so much. And as a reminder to all participants, please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. And please keep your phones and microphones on mute while not speaking. I'd like to turn the call back over to Erica Mann.
Michelle, thank you so much. Erica Mann on the call. Hello to everybody. We have a pretty tight schedule today because many of us would love to join another ICANN call about the GTLD, if I'm not mistaken, in about an hour. So let's try to see if we can manage to get this done within an hour. With this, I move to point two on the agenda, which is follows the welcome, the update to the declaration of interest. Anybody who would love to mention something? No? And feel free, anytime you have a topic which comes to your mind, feel free either to mention it to us by email or just update the declaration of interest. Point three on the agenda is the highly debated response to the ICANN board letter. Now, you have seen that we had many exchanges, and it would be great if we could get the board letter so that everybody can see it, please. Yes, thank you so much. So this was already debated highly by email, and they are practically on the topic whether we should mention kind of framing about the amount which shall be spent in the future for administration and administration-related work. There are practically two philosophies in our group. So one is arguing we pick up the 5% which was mentioned in the board letter, but then we mentioned that in our internal short discussion which we had about this, a few colleagues mentioned 10% or 12%. This was the basic idea, was just to indicate to the board that we have to be careful with concrete numbers because we don't have yet a concrete understanding how this future mechanism will evolve and what kind of institutional framework we will set up. Some of us are involved in different funding environments, and typically they work with much higher numbers. And keep in mind as well, we don't know how long this project will run. It could be 1 year, it could be 3 years, it could be 5 years, it can be much longer. And depending on this, of course, the amount of money for administration side will be much higher. But then there's the other side who argued 5% is sufficient and we shouldn't go beyond. Now, I like to hear from you again because it was such a highly debated topic. We have one proposal from Marika already, and she's also fantastic in coming up with new conclusions quickly. Marika, would you be so kind and just read your compromise language? Could you just read this quickly? I can't see this here on the screen.
Thank you, Erica. Hi, this is Marika. There's actually some language I had sent to you as a chair, so that the rest of the group actually hasn't seen that yet. But the idea behind it is indeed
it's fine, but please read it and everybody can have it.
Yes. So the objective of the language is to kind of combine, and as you noted, the concern that some have expressed in relation to the percentage given by the board, but also the notion that it's maybe too early to decide on a number. So the proposed modification of that specific sentence would read something like, several CCWG members/participants did point out, however, that the overhead costs will depend on the actual mechanism recommended and may therefore vary from the 5% recommended by the ICANN board. And that would leave it there. So it basically would leave it open whether it could be higher, could be lower, but at this stage it will be dependent on the mechanism chosen and will require further consideration.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you so much, Marika. Maybe if you have it ready, maybe you could post it as well so that everybody can see it. And then I see a hand raised by Elliot. Ellen, please.
Thank you very much. I think Elliot is just a check at this point. I strongly support keeping in some other number, and I like the 10%. And the reason why is we are bothering to respond in writing here. We have two excellent liaisons from the board, but we're not presuming that they will carry back all of our messages. And I think it's really, if we're rejecting the 5%, which effectively we are, we may end up being 5%, but we're not giving any guarantees, certifications at this point, then I think we have to propose some other number we think might be reasonable. Otherwise, would not be unreasonable for the board to think maybe our target is 25%, which is a number that's often used in charitable exercises to say whether their administration costs are too high or not. And I think we want to set expectations at a more reasonable level. One of the reasons that I'm concerned about the 5% is partly, as you said, this exercise may go on for quite a long time, and some of the costs associated with it are going to be proportional to the length of time, which changes the dynamic. The other thing is, if we end up deciding that we will be funding certain major classes of functions, projects, you know, ones that have a well into the seven digits, there's going to be significant costs associated with that, because there are usually things like field visits and checking up on the group and making sure the money's being used properly that can end up, you know, it's not going to use a third of the money, but it certainly could end up using more than 5% of the money. So I think we need to set expectations properly and say our targets are not very high, but we don't think that 5% might be sufficient as we go forward. Thank you.
Elliot, do you want to say something, or are you crossed out?
No, I put up the first time that, you know, I put my comments into chat. I agreed with Marika's language. I disagree with Alan's statements. In the sense that I, you know, in my mind, I think, you know, talking about percentages is what artifice here. I think there it is real dollars. And, you know, I, again, as I put in the chat, 1% is $1.4 million. That's a lot of site visits. That's a lot of fees. That's a lot of experts. And that's 1%. You know, when we're talking about a 25% threshold for a charity, we're talking about charities where they have professional fundraisers that they're paying, where they have managing directors that are making well into the six figures, sometimes mid six figures. But, you know, it's just so away from what we're doing here. So, again, I like Marika's language and you know, the rest of the comments are in the chat.
Yeah, thank you, Alan. Becky. Becky, can you hear?
Sorry, coming off mute. I just want to assure people that Asha and I, of course, will provide the board with, you know, sort of information that conveys the nuance. With respect to the 5%, you know, Asha no doubt also has views on this, but I think the point is not a specific percentage, but an understanding that, you know, the goal is to use the funding for to accomplish you know, goals, specific goals, not, you know, to sort of perpetuate a machine that spends a lot of money, and that really what the board is heartened to understand is that the group is very conscious of the need to, depending on the mechanism, identify an appropriate target for administrative costs that reasonably reflects, you know, a lean administrative process, but obviously adequate to ensure that the money is being spent for the appropriate purposes. But you know, it's just not an open-ended, you know, spend anything. It is that as this proceeds, the group understands that it's important to identify a reasonable target based on all of those things and to stick with it. So, I mean, as Elliot mentioned, depending on the mechanism, it could require quite a lot less. So I think that the board is perfectly capable of understanding that, you know, it might be more than 5%, it might be less than 5%, but the critical message is that as we move forward, we will keep in mind the sort of impact that our choices have on cost and make appropriate decisions based on the desire to allocate the money to the charitable purposes and not to administration.
Thank you, Becky. I think this is a very good point, and I think this is well understood. It's just we have to keep in mind, some of us might not be there anymore when everything starts working, and the memory, historical memory in particular, since we have received this letter from the board, which meant 5%, it is good to respond to it. But I agree, there's an understanding it can be less, it can be more, depending on the structure which will be set up and the year it will run. I have Asha and Ching on the list, and Nadira, she pointed out in the chat room that she rather prefers a language without mentioning any numbers. Nadira, just keep in mind, because the board mentioned the 5%, it might be good to indicate something, not as a fixed number, but as an indication. Please think about it. And I take now Asha and Ching. Asha, please.
Thank you, Erica. So I just want to echo what Becky said. She put it very eloquently. And I want to add one more point, which is referring back to what I think it was John. No, was it John or was it Elliot? Pardon me. Was Elliot what Elliot mentioned? And that is regarding the absolute numbers. If we're talking about, if the fund is 100 million and we're talking about 10%, that is $10 million spent on disbursing the funds. So I'm not going to comment on whether 5% is too much or too little. I just want to bring up this figure that Elliot mentioned to put things in perspective, because we need to seriously think about whether we want to spend $10 million to disburse $90 million. That's the first point I wanted to make. And the second point I wanted to make was that you have the option, the CCWG has the option of looking around and soliciting help from external experts. And you may wish to, that's one idea. The other possibility is to look at what other foundations like the Gates Foundation and many other foundations that are, what are their typical ratios for disbursing funds? What is the typical overhead ratio? So this is not in direct relation to the comment, to the response back to the board letter, but these are just ideas I want to put out there that the CCWG may wish to consider. In terms of what is an appropriate figure. And I agree wholeheartedly that with a comment that was made earlier, which is it really very much depends on what is the disbursement mechanisms that are finally selected, because the overhead will very much depend on that. So I would actually just bear that in mind, and instead of locking yourselves to a particular figure, the 5%, I have to say, came from very early days. This came from when we were doing the charter, and the idea of bringing that figure in is just to put the idea out there that we have to be efficient as possible when we're dispersing the funds. We don't want to waste money dispersing the funds. We want to be as efficient as possible because this is very hard-earned money. Thank you.
Thank you, Asha. Ching, please. You are on mute, maybe. Okay, then I take Manal. Or have you deleted yourself? Manal? Do you want to say something? Please.
Actually, I'm fine with the current language. But I'm just wondering whether adding something along the lines that at the end this needs to be determined by the process, does this address all concerns? I mean, to resolve the debate. But for me, I'm fine with the language as it stands. I'm just wondering whether adding this sentence would address concerns that Alan raised earlier. Thank you.
Yeah, this is similar to what Marika is recommending. Let me read Marika's proposal again. Several CCWD members, participants, did point out, however, that the overhead cost will depend on the actual payment recommended and may therefore vary from the 5% recommended by the ICANN board. It's similar to what you are saying, Manal, yeah? Maybe we can type this again in so that you can see it. Ching, are you there now? Can you see it, Manal?
Yes, I can see it. I was just putting more stress that we're presenting both sides, but at the end, the process is going to the side, so that we're clear that we're not to the 5 yet, nor to the 10 yet. But as I said, I'm happy with the language as it stands. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much. Marika, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, you're back, Ching. Marika, I'm sure you took the slight disruption when Mana was talking. I'm sure you understood what she was referring to, so that maybe you can at the end read again the complete proposal again. Ching, please.
Thank you, Erica. Sorry, I pushed the wrong button, but I'd like to put it very shortly. So I think the conversation is very good to have, and I think people agree here also in the chat room that for Marika's proposed text meets the purpose of the flexibility. So I think we're all just sharing the thoughts here, not really putting a fixed number, in stone. But I also like to add just maybe more thoughts is like initially the cost may go high. The first few years, the percentage may go up because of the initial operation, setting things up, doing due diligence. All the activities may lead the number, higher than the other years. But overall, in the 5 or even longer terms, that we see the operation stays in. Within the percentage, I think that's the overall purpose that we are actually talking about here. So I just like to add that point. Thank you.
Okay. I think we can conclude the discussion. I see Elliot goes back to his point of 1%. Elliot, I don't know if you won funds, but I did this for, and I evaluated big funds bigger than 100 million. But I know what, and they had portions of 100 million included. If, imagine, we don't know how the structure will look like. We have no idea how long it will run. We have no idea if there will be a fund manager which will have 100 million is a lot of money. And you have the structure you have to set up. Will we hire people? Who will there be a full fund manager which we have to hire? Will this be outsourced? I just 1%, I don't think so you can run a structure like this over many years for this 1%. I mean, just with my little experience in this field, so I would caution there. But can you all please give us, Shelby, Elliot, do you want to say something? Elliot,
yeah,
please.
Briefly, if I could. I completely agree with what you said, Erica. You know, I want you to understand that where I'm coming from is, you know, first of all, I'm in favor or I'm strongly opposed to this being something that goes on for years. I am strongly in favor of this being a one-off project to give away this sum of money full stop, to not have a foundation, to not institutionalize this. And all I'm saying is that's a possibility too, and in that possibility, 1% is a lot. So I agree completely that those questions are open, that we as a group are the ones who are going to answer those questions. I think there's good arguments on both sides. And, you know, the point I only want to get out there is not to argue for 1% in the letter. Remember, I've said, you know, multiple times now I'm completely in favor of Marika's language, but to say that there is a very real set of outcomes where that would indeed be a lot of money.
Fully understood. Good point, Elliot. And it's an alternative which might come out. You're absolutely right. So let's do the following. Marika, please read the language again, and then I recommend to you that we resend the letter to you with this new language Marika is reading, so you have a chance to read it again. But then I would love in that we can conclude within the next week or maximum next 2 weeks. I rather prefer in the next week we can send out the letter. And Marika, please, would you be so kind to read it again?
Yes, thank you, Erica. So this is Marika. I did suggest on the right-hand side a small addition based on Anel's input so that the sentence would read, several CCWG members/participants did point out, however, that the overhead costs will depend on the actual mechanism recommended as a result of the CCWG deliberations and may therefore vary from the 5% recommended by the ICANN board.
Is this covering all concerns, like the one Elliot raised, from the 1% to those who would love to see a higher number mentioned? Is this sufficient flexible for all of you? Asha, do you want to make a comment on this one?
Yes, please. I just wanted to make it very clear that the 5% was not really recommended by the ICANN board, but that was because we never intended to say that it should be 5%. It could very well be less than that. So I just want to make that very clear, unless it's misunderstood. That was just a figure. The 5% came from it's a typical figure that I have seen in other large foundations, and that's where it came from. And it's not really meant to be a recommendation as such, as in it has to be that figure. Thank you.
No, that's understood. That's well understood, Asha, but thank you for mentioning. Asha, Elliot, is this an old hand?
No, that's my agree. Again, it's not a hand.
Thank you. Oh, I didn't see this one. Got you. And this is the same then for Maureen and the same for Peter? Okay, thank you so much. So what we will do, Marika, we'll put this in the draft letter, and we will resend the letter again to everybody. And give us some time. Will this be fine for you? I know you have many calls in a moment, everybody. You think you can manage to come back to us within a week? Okay. Let's do this. Is there any other point you would love to raise in relation to this letter? Dietmar, I saw you. You took it away, your hand. Okay, fine. Okay, let's move on to the next point then. Can we get this up? Okay, Marika, be so kind and give us a quick overview about this agenda point, please.
Yes, thank you very much, Erica. This is Marika. So this is a graphic you've already seen in previous meetings. We've made a small update based on the conversations during the last call. And this is now also the basis for the updated work plan, which we'll go to next, in which we've basically, you see here the numbers, which I've titled as phases for now, which are the different steps within the process of dealing with the charter questions as has been discussed and is proposed. So we're currently in phase one, doing the initial run-through of the charter questions to have an initial assessment of you know, what are potential viewpoints on this question. You know, are these gating questions, are these questions that need to be addressed before we can actually go into phase three? Is there any clarifications required? And what kind of expertise is potentially needed to address or deliberate on the questions. Then one of the additional steps that was added based on recent conversations, this is step two. Through the initial run-through, there may be a determination that there are certain questions that may need to be dealt with before we can actually start compiling the different mechanisms, or it may actually inform step three, if there's a clearer idea of where the group stands in relation to some questions. And I think one question that has already been flagged is in relation to, you know, the overall objective or purpose of this effort. Then we would go into step three, which would be actually compiling a list of possible mechanisms that could be considered. For each of those mechanisms, then having, you know, the characteristics, strengths, weaknesses, and also reviewing those from the perspective of legal, fiduciary, and audit constraints. And one additional step that you can see in the work plan here is that has been suggested as a result of leadership conversations is that at the end of that phase, it might be helpful to involve some of the experts that we have already identified or that may need to be identified that are actually working in these mechanisms or in examples of these mechanisms that are identified so that a conversation can take place and a confirmation as well that the information that the CCWG has compiled, especially as well with regards to the strengths and weaknesses, is accurate and can then helpfully inform the deliberations as part of step four. So in step four, the CCWG would then review the mechanisms that have been gathered and make a determination which of those deemed to be most suitable to further explore, also in view of the initial deliberations that took place in step one and two, and would take those mechanisms and then do a more deep dive as part of step five on different charter questions from the perspective of that specific mechanism or mechanisms that have been selected at that stage. I think, as we noted before as well, that it's likely going to be an iterative process because it's very possible that as part of that deeper dive into charter questions, there may be a realization that, you know, certain mechanisms may not be suitable or not as suitable as was originally determined, and there may be a need to review some of the other mechanisms identified in further detail. When we get to the end of that process, hopefully there will be a clear front-runner and consensus around what mechanism should be recommended, as well as detailed responses to each of the charter questions, meeting the legal and fiduciary and audit constraints that have been identified, and that will be published for public comment as part of an initial report. So if I can now then briefly pull up the related work plan. I'm just trying to see where that is. Here we go. So basically the work plan, and you see highlighted in bold language the time frame currently set aside for the different phases. Have to note here, and it's also of course noted in the status and notes, that of course a lot of this is dependent on how quickly or how slowly the CCWG goes through these different phases. So there will definitely be a need to adjust and update the work plan as work progresses. I also made a note, for example, on the phase three and phase two. Maybe there's a possibility there to have some of that overlap or run in parallel. Maybe some work on mapping different mechanisms and just listing characteristics could already be done while the CCWG is addressing some of the questions that have been identified as needing a response before we can usefully really deep dive into the different mechanisms and evaluate them on which ones are most suitable for further consideration. You'll note here as well that we have added an additional meeting to our usual schedule. We do need to confirm with Xavier that he is available, but we had earlier on identified that it would be helpful to have a briefing on audit requirements. So there's a proposal here to add an additional meeting on the 15th of June for that specific briefing to have it focused on that topic. So we're awaiting a confirmation from Xavier, but we're hoping that that is something that will work with everyone's schedule. But of course, it will also be recorded and transcribed for those that may not be able to be at the meeting. So working through the different phases, and again, I've developed the work plan again on the notion that there may be a desire or an objective to have an initial report by the end of the year. Again, this is an artificial deadline. There is no external deadline or no guidance that has been provided by chartering organizations at this stage by when work needs to be completed. So it's really up to the CCWG to determine whether you think that is a really realistic or desirable a deadline for publication of an initial report. At some point through your work, you may need to have a conversation around whether indeed you need to adjust the end post or whether there's a need, for example, to change sequence of work. We're currently working on a call every 2 weeks. You know, if the group is determined to meet the end of year deadline, but you're realizing that more time may be needed for deliberations, you know, there's always the ability, of course, to increase a frequency of calls or explore different mechanisms by which work can be sped up. So I think this is what's currently on the table for you to review and provide your input on. I think especially comments with regards to indeed the overall timing. Are we allocating too little, too much time? Is the end of year goal, is that too ambitious and should it already be put further out? Is it just something that we'll monitor on an ongoing basis? And again, if there are any steps that need to be taken in between, and I already pointed out this additional step at the end of phase three of consultation with experts, which has been included here, currently slotted for 24th of August. If there are any other of those kind of additional steps that should be reflected here, of course, those are very welcome as well. So I think I'll stop there, and for any comments or questions, happy to take those.
Thank you, Marika. As you, Marika, rightly mentioned, it would be wonderful if you would review this. You don't have to do it today. I mean, it would be good if you would send us comments by email. And if you think it's either too fast or there is a month which is maybe too much burdened with meetings, like August could be a month where many are on holiday, it would be good to give us a signal. And then as you can see, when we had our discussion with Marika and Qing, we recommended to include in phase three the meeting, call meeting with experts, because I think it would be good to listen to various fund managers, how they run their organization and what they think about our the setup of our potential structure and what they would recommend to us. This is in a moment scheduled for one day. We might have to offer one call. This might be not sufficient, so we might have to schedule another one. Just keep this in mind. Review the list and let us know, first of all, what you think about the current proposal and if you already have additional remarks or additional comments you would like to make. I'm checking in a moment. There's nobody who raised their hand. I give you a second, and there's no debate, nor in the chat room, or is there one? No, not really. Abdul, is this a hand or it's a deleted hand, huh? I somehow can't see on my screen the little remark next to a raised hand. I don't know why it's not showing on my computer. Okay, Marika, then let's send this out again by email, and we can come back to it in 2 weeks' time again, depending on the comments we receive from members. Is this going to work for everybody? Perfect. Then, Marika, why don't we move to the next chartering question? We still have 20 minutes, which is wonderful, so maybe we can even finish within the hour, so that everybody who would love to join the other call is then free. Can you go to point 4 and 5 to the two chartering questions?
Yes, so this is Marika. Thank you. I'm just pulling up the templates for charter question 5. As you may all recall, during the last meeting, we spent quite some time on going through the templates for charter questions 1 and 3. Those were also circulated to the list, but I didn't see any further input or comments on those. We did post, we've created a separate page on the wiki page where we're posting these templates. Of course, if at any point you believe any information is missing there or further details need to be added, you're free to suggest that. The Google Doc is still open as well for those that want to provide initial input on these charter questions, and that's where, of course, we'll take most of the information from. So you're also encouraged to go there and add any input you want to provide, so it comes up in the template. As noted before as well, we're going through the charter questions in the breakdown that we discussed early on, where a set of questions has been identified as being more focused on legal and structure, and then the other set of questions that are more scope related. So we're just running through these in that order, and that's why it's not sequentially, but it's basically based on the breakdown that was developed as a result of that. So charter question 5 reads, what conflicts of interest provisions and procedures need to be put in place as part of this framework for fund allocation? And then here you see captured, and again, this is a summary. You're all encouraged to review the full details of the input that has been provided by CCWG participants and members. So I've aimed here to summarize it to a certain extent, and my apologies if I didn't do a good job in that. But some of the feedback that was provided as it was in response, one person commented, I do not foresee any issue whereby an individual would raise a conflict of interest in their participation and they're advocating a funding priority versus another, since the group works on consensus. Another person knows there should be very strict provisions in place as soon as allocation of funds is considered for specific organizations. In case the process implies a review and selection of projects or organizations, people and organizations in charge of the review should be strictly independent from applicants and commit to high standards of ethics to prevent lobbying, etc. The scope of external audits of the process should include this aspect of the process. Someone else noted as well that the conflict of interest might apply at the final stage during the final funding allocations. And for that final process, this comment suggests that the individuals should not be eligible to apply for funding, only legal entities. Independent selection committees that represent different stakeholders and regions are an important step to ensuring neutrality. the ICANN board should focus on ways to ratify decisions made through the selection committees that are independent and not to be part of the selection process. Statement of any possible conflict related to the project shall be public and part of the project submitted to be funded. A way forward to both reducing the risk of conflict of interest and getting enough granting organizations could be the following. CCWG members participants could all nominate one or two capable non-profit charity organizations that could potentially help sub-granting. After that, all nominated organizations are invited to issue a proposal how they would sub-grant ICANN funds and what their track record is. And CCWG members participants qualify proposals on capability and nominate a selection of capable sub-granting organizations to the board. And again, I think looking at the responses here, I think you'll see very clearly that this also relates to the previous conversation that, of course, it will depend on the mechanism to be able to determine what conflict of interest procedures are maybe necessary, required, or nice to have. And I think here several different examples have been suggested here. So the order in which this question is to be dealt with, as noted, this, of course, is highly dependent on the mechanism that is to be recommended. So it's likely that depending on the mechanism, different requirements need to be put in place, although there may be certain baselines that would require regardless of what mechanism is chosen. And again, it's probably a more detailed conversation the CCWG may need to have. I didn't see any sub-questions or clarifications needed or that were pointed out. And I listed here as some of the expertise that may be needed is needed the legal and fiduciary requirements, as well as audit requirements that have already been listed here in one of the comments provided. So this is all the information I was able to capture at this stage from the input that has been provided. So I'm happy to open the floor and have people chime in.
Thank you, Marika. As always, excellent work. Ching, please.
Thank you, Erica, and thank you, as always, Marika, for putting this together. And I just saw your last point is on the sub-question or clarification needed. So I will probably send a note later, but I'd like to point out in the initial response in terms of the decision made through the selection committees. So I'm just probably, I'm not, at least to myself, I'm not very clear about the selection committee, how this get, portrayed and how at least the working group will see this. Are we going to work on the rules for the selection committee even to set up the rules for selecting those who will be serving the selection the selection com. So I'll probably send out a note later and maybe to take that as a sub question to this charter question, but I'd like to point that out here. Thanks.
Perfect, Ching. Thanks so much, Ching. I mean, keep in mind, these are various parameters which were mentioned in the in this initial response, which came to us. So they might be not all coherent. Anybody else who would love to make a comment on this point?
This is Marika. I can maybe respond to Ching's question.
Sure.
Yes, it is, Marika. Ching, and I think Erica already made the point as well. I think, indeed, these are, of course, the responses I've pulled out to that specific questions. But if you actually look at the overall document, you see that many actually, you know, it is a story. So if someone initially has recommended that there should be a separate fund created, their responses then to the other questions are likely in line with that initial recommendation of creating a separate fund, for example. So I think in this specific case, and I just quickly looked back, it's Sylvia, who unfortunately couldn't join us today on the call, who spoke about the selection committee. So it may be worth indeed looking back at the different responses that Sylvia has provided in that document to have a better understanding of what she means with the selection committees and how she would see that fitting in, or indeed, you know, specific question to her, of course, to provide further details on that. But it may already be captured in some of her other responses.
Yep, got it. Thanks a lot, Marika.
Yeah, and all this for everybody, because, I mean, it's so easy to forget sometimes the purpose of these chartering questions. At the end of this long summary with the various bullet points Marika made, there is one rubric which is called order in which this question dealt with. Response to this question will be partly dependent on mechanism that is recommended. See also input provided by board and clarification requested by CCWG. I think we will have to come under point five and the chartering question, like all the others, to an understanding what are the most important priorities for us with regard to this particular topic. And then I think we will have more clarification about how we want to frame it and what we really would love to recommend. I don't see anybody else making comment. Nothing in the chat room neither. Okay. Marika, this seems to be clear. And we are sending this out again. So then let's move to the next item, which is the next chartering question.
Yes, it is, Marika. So just pulling up the next template. And as I noted before, we've created a separate wiki page in which we're posting all these templates. So at any point, you can go back there and find the templates. And again, if there are any further comments or input people want to provide. And I think as well, like we're currently discussing as well, some initial responses. If people have thoughts on that, or they believe that certain approaches or potential responses are not covered here that you do believe are important to have documented, so once the group dives into the more in-depth deliberations, at least those different options are listed, you know, please feel free to share that. So charter question seven asks, should ICANN oversee the solicitation and evaluation of proposals or delegate to or coordinate with another entity, including, for example, a foundation created for this purpose? So some of the responses that were provided were, if that's what the board wants, then yes. Somehow it will depend on the trust in and the solidity of the strategic plan given to the grant agency, i.e. if the safeguards and criteria are good enough, then ICANN may live with posting decisions reporting only. Second person noted that in order to avoid risks, reputational, integrity, legal risk affecting ICANN's operations in the future, given that the stability and security are paramount in its mission, relying on another entity may be preferable. It will be preferable to limit ICANN's board and staff involvement to avoid undue influence, a conflict of interest, integrity issues, and other potential legal risks. Strong criteria, sufficient safeguards, and transparent processes that are informed to the community should be in place. And then lastly, ICANN should not deal with thousands of proposals itself, since it's a tremendous effort that requires many new employees that can hardly do the work and will incur huge overhead costs and many months to get started and experience. ICANN should make use of approximately 25 existing nonprofit charity organizations around the globe with the right capabilities and a track record. Here I've noted in the order in which this question needs to be dealt with, that this is possibly a great gaining question, as a yes-no answer would determine to a certain extent which mechanism would require a further consideration. So again, this is probably a point where it would be helpful to have the members and participants weigh in on, because if it is indeed determined that this is a question that would need to be answered before determination can be made of which mechanisms are most promising to meet the objectives, this may be a question that will need to be dealt with ahead of time.
Indeed. Thank you so much, Marika. Elliot, I see your hand is up.
Thank you. Just as I'm muting. The I feel there's some confusion here on the use of ICANN, as we sometimes get. You know, some people were making comments in relation to ICANN staff, you know, where I feel that this really is about ICANN community. I would note that most of the CCTLDs who engage in these programs, certainly in the CIRA program, it's using what I would call community volunteers. You know, I would at a minimum want that contemplated in here. So, you know, it should be clear that one of the possible outcomes is that it is volunteers from the ICANN community. You know, I think that would be relatively easy to find. I think there are lots of people, I would certainly say I would consider myself one of them, who would consider it an honor to invest time and effort reviewing proposals. And there's two other comments I'd want to make there. The first is that I think we're going to be dealing with adherence to mission as essentially a gating item in our process here. You know, I think that adherence to mission will have two implications. I think that at first it will significantly limit the number of proposals, maybe not that will get submitted, but certainly that will get through a first gate, which will naturally be adherence. So I think that would immediately, because of the narrow construction of mission that we're dealing with, that will immediately significantly limit the number of proposals that really have to have a lot of time spent on them, time and effort. And the second thing about that adherence to mission is I also believe that that would virtually preclude using some outside group, you know, here I'm thinking about, you know, there's a couple of references, but the 25 existing nonprofit charity organizations around the globe with the right capabilities and track record. You know, I think that we're talking about a very narrow set of proposals that really can be considered in the way that the rules are being dictated to us. And because of that, it will be very difficult to go outside the ICANN community in the broad construction of the term, because it will be very difficult for people with little or no experience in this community to be able to apply that filter. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Elliot, Alan, please, next.
Yeah, two things. On a minor nit, the first bullet says if that's what the board wants, then yes, but I think the question asked is an either or, so I'm not sure yes is an appropriate answer to it. On the specifics, I don't think the answer is as clear as Elliot is implying. Number one, if you use volunteers, there's a really major problem of consistency. We don't know how many applications we're talking about. Since we haven't decided, are we only looking at projects, you know, over $5 million, in which case we're clearly limiting the number of projects we have, and it may be down to a viable number. Or if we're looking at smaller projects, we could end up with thousands upon thousands of them. And I just don't believe we're going to use volunteer labor and be able to do the job consistently and effectively. So I think we have a lot of decisions to make before we get to the stage of deciding, are we outsourcing or are we building the capacity in-house? And whether it's a capacity for a year or for 10 years, it still means build. So I think we have a lot of questions to answer, and I don't even think we should be having the discussion of the merits of outsourcing versus doing it ourselves until we have some idea of the kinds of things that are within the range that we want to consider. Thank you.
Yeah, it's a tough environment. Asha, please.
Thank you, Erica. Just a very quick point. I want to say I agree with Alan's first point. on this question, it wasn't either or. It was, so it's not what the board wants. Ellen was spot on. Thank you for spotting that, Ellen. Thanks.
I think we might have a tiny misunderstanding here. These bullet points reflect different responses we have received from different CCWG participants in this group. So this is just a loose summary and no coherence in what you see in front of you. Like you rightly point out, all of you, that we have to make up our mind and we have to work on a kind of understanding what is the preference which we have with regard to the various topics either mentioned here on these bullet points or additional points which are coming up, like what Elliot recommended, concern raised by Alan, or Tripti made a recommendation with regard to a potential foundation. So we will have to get a closer understanding, and my preference would be that we take these initial responses and all other recommendations you do have, we have to put this all together in a document, and then we have to discuss it one by one. We have the work plan. You remember what Marika just presented. We have the work plan with the different timetables attached to it. So we will have to give this, in particular this point, the charter question 7, sufficient time. And Marika, maybe you can reevaluate it again and see that we have enough time to discuss this topic. So the next step, Marika, what is the next step? Do we want to receive more input, probably from colleagues which just mentioned different topics already now? And if we do so, what would be the timetable we have available? Can you just touch on this briefly?
Yeah, this is Marika. What I can already do is capture, and I've captured on the right side some of the notes and points that were made, so I can already integrate those into the template and then circulate that out again to the group so you can add any other further points or comments you want to make. And as I said, we'll then post that on the wiki page. If there is a need to come back to it at the next meeting, that's also, of course, an option. But again, I think to the point of the order, if people believe that this is indeed a question that needs to be dealt with and at least preliminary agreement needs to be found on what the response is before we can actually go into step 3 and 4, is of course a question that will come back as part of a stage 2, and more time will be dedicated to answering that specific question then.
We then do the following. We will, in the email which we will send to you back after this call, we will attach these two charter questions, 5 and 7, and would recommend that in particular with regard to point 7, add any recommendation you want to make in addition to what you see already captured in these bullet points. So that we have this together as a kind of list, and then in the next call in 2 weeks, I think we should review charter question 7 again, and we then can get a clearer understanding between us if we want to build a kind of hierarchy. And then once we have such kind of hierarchy, in case we can agree on one, we then can find a way to frame it in better ways so that we know you know, what is the best solution maybe for this environment. Alan, I see your hand. Is this an old hand or a new one?
No, that was a new hand. I was just going to point out that when I pointed out that the answer, if that's what the board wants, then yes, does not really make any sense. I understood it was something that someone said. I'm just suggesting we go back to them. They clearly misread the question. And to include that as one of the answers I don't think is helpful. They may well have something salient to say if they understand the question was an either-or. So I think we should either exclude it or make sure that it says what they wanted it to say, because right now it doesn't make a lot of sense. Thank you.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. So, Marika, we look at this again if we either delete it or if we mention the context. Probably deleting is not taking anything away from the rest of the text, but we have to check this. And then Xing is making additional comment about the legal and fiduciary constraints, which we have certainly, and Elliot made before comment in relation to the mission statement. I mean, these are all the guiding principles which we already have in place, but it's good to keep this in mind when we talk about Charter Question 7. So the idea is we send out an email to you like we do each time afterwards, and then Charter Question 5 and 7 will be attached, plus the work plan. Send us all additional comments you want to make in relation to Charter Question 7. And there's a side debate in a moment about experts. So Marika put in the link to the expert as far as we have captured them already. And I see that some are making comments that not all experts are mentioned in here. Please send us the experts which you have in mind as well so that we can start pulling a list together. If you have their telephone numbers and their contact details, it would be great if you could attach them as well. Then it makes it easier for everybody, for in particular for Marika, to work on this topic. Any other final comment with regard to Charter Question 7? Marika, something which I have forgotten to mention?
No, Erica, this is Rick. I just wanted to highlight indeed the point you made on the experts. As you may recall, in the beginning, we started a Google Doc in which working group members and participants were asked to identify potential external experts that could be consulted at some point in time. And then Adira very helpfully pointed out that we also did a survey amongst the membership and participants of the CCWG to assess what expertise is available in the CCWG. So I'll make an effort now to put those two together so we have kind of an inventory of expertise. And, of course, the Google Doc is still open as well. So if there are any other external experts that you think at some point may need to be consulted or specific questions can be asked to, we at least have already that information available. So I just wanted to be aware of where that stands.
Sorry for hearing you so much today, but I know that many colleagues have to join another call urgently. Let me remind you just about our next upcoming call. If there's no other point you would love to raise, and next call is on May 11th at 14 o'clock UTC. Any other point? No? And thank you all so much. Again, apologies for this quick call. Thanks for understanding it, and have a good rest week. Thank you so much, Marika, in particular, for all the great prep work.
Thank you,
Erica.
Thanks,
and thank you, Marika.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks.
Thank you. Again, the meeting has been adjourned. Operator, please stop the recording for us and disconnect all remaining lines. Have a great day, everyone.